In the year 1882, a woman by the name of Priscilla Owens wrote a hymn. During a season of prayer and meditation, she felt prompted and led by the Spirit of God to jot down some words that just all kind of came to her in a short time. And in that hymn, she asked a great question. It was set to music later by William Kirkpatrick. And the question she asked is this: will your anchor hold in the storms of life, when the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain? Will your anchor drift or firm remain? Anyone who thinks about such a question is compelled to answer simply, well, that depends on what one's anchor is. It's that simple. And what a great question for you and for me. What is the anchor of your life? There are many possibilities. Some choose wealth, land, stocks, bonds, business opportunities, capital, equity. Some choose health. Health is a wonderful thing, is it not? Some say if you have your health, you have everything. And others immediately say family. Family's the anchor. Or intelligence, educational accomplishments, advancements in one career, in one's career, climbing that corporate ladder, and all of the opportunities that are afforded in that kind of success. There are so many different possibilities that we could anchor into with our life. Personal appearance, sex appeal, fame, popularity, influence, power, the adrenaline of feeling important. Or we could go the route of sin. Some people look for an anchor in sin, in porn, or a bottle of wine, or the casino, or just leisure, travel, pleasurable pursuits. The list goes on and on and on. But there's a problem, friends. There's a problem with such anchors. Time and time again, people discover that none of these anchors hold long term. One person thinks that, you know, family is definitely the anchor, only to discover, surprise, my family can't be the anchor. My family needs an anchor. You know, you want to think like that when it comes to family, your wife, your kids, your house. You know, you got them all together this week, right? Right? I mean, I'm not going to take that from you. I can't wait. Okay? But when I look around the table at my house, especially the extended family, no, we need an anchor. We are not the anchor. I'm not the anchor. Kathy's not the anchor, although she would make a better one than me. Okay, we need an anchor. That's not it. That's the problem. Time and time again, people discover that none of these anchors hold. Not long term. And then we come to the letter of Hebrews. And the very point of the entire letter, it's 13 chapters. I believe it's after Philemon, before James. So it's towards the back of the New Testament. The entire point of the writing of this letter is that we have an anchor for the soul. This is what's given to us, friends. Hebrews 6, 19 and 20. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner, Jesus Christ, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. And that is the whole focus and purpose of this letter that is so important in the New Testament. It speaks to us of Jesus Christ like no other letter, like no other scripture. It exalts Jesus. It tells us who Jesus is and what he came to accomplish on our behalf. What a beautiful passage of scripture these 13 chapters are. But the whole point, the whole reason all of the information is given to us is so that we know that we have a hope and that this hope serves as an anchor for the soul. This hope is in Jesus. And so as we look at Hebrews, we're going to focus on a lot of different terms, and I need you to be patient with me. We can't eat the whole elephant just before Thanksgiving. It wouldn't be right. Okay? We need to look at this word hope, anchor, the inner sanctuary. What's he talking about? The curtain. The idea of a forerunner. We'll get to that today. But Jesus Christ is all of these things. He's our hope. He's our anchor. He's firm and secure. He does not move. You see, it's in Hebrews that we're told that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not move. He is not temporary. He is not dependent on the conditions of the stock market, the economy. It doesn't matter what's going on at the hospital or any other thing or circumstance. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want you to say that to yourself during this series. Remind yourself of that when you face difficulty. Because here's the truth, friend. Jesus does not promise us an easy life. Some people make that mistake and think that, well, you know, I'm a Christian now and things were supposed to cheer up. Things were supposed to get better. I was supposed to, you know, to get the job. My family was supposed to stay together. Temptation wasn't supposed to be so bad. Like, which Bible are you reading, friend? And my Bible says this. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus doesn't offer us an escape from trouble. He offers us himself. He fits us to be able to deal with trouble, to be able to deal with disappointment, to be able to deal with the struggles of life. Last night, my wife and I, well, we're almost 50, so we decided, being the pastor and all, we would attend the seniors event. And, you know, a little entitlement. We came, and first of all, Kenny Zern is the best stand-up comic I've ever heard. Okay? I told him, I said, Kenny, I think you missed your calling, man. I was like, wow, that was good. But Grace Fabian came, a one-time missionary with Wycliffe Bible Translators. She gave her life. She and her husband literally gave their lives to translating the New Testament into the language of one of the tribal people. And years and years and years and years, they stayed, you know, in I'm sure, not the greatest accommodations. It's hot. It's buggy. There's so many things that they just, you know, pleasantries that they did without conveniences, so that they could translate the scripture. And during the course of the translation process, after having accomplished a lot, one of the helpers, one of the tribal people, just in a kind of a fit of mental disorder, ended up murdering her husband. And she was there, didn't witness the actual event itself, but her story is just riveting. And to think that these people gave their lives for Jesus. They left the country. They learned another language. This tribal people, they had no alphabet. They had no language. They created an alphabet. They created a written language. They translated the scriptures. They led people to Jesus. Of all people, they should deserve, right? Something better than murder. But that's her reality. Jesus doesn't promise us our cake and eat it too. He doesn't even promise the cake. He promises us himself. Please teach your children that. Please teach your grandchildren that. Please help them to understand the realities of the Christian experience. There are so many good things. Jesus does bring joy. He brings forgiveness. We can deal with our guilt. We have the hope of eternal life. There's so much to be said for Christian fellowship. Amen? But please do not teach your children or your grandchildren that somehow Jesus has a magic wand and he is going to make your life all better. He does not guarantee that, but he guarantees himself and that he will be constant. And so he is the anchor for the soul, and our hope is in him. And as our hope is in Christ, then we are anchored. Then regardless of the circumstances that we face, we don't drift. We're not smashed against the reef or the rocks or the dangers of this world in that sense. And so let's think about this word, anchor. An anchor is a device normally made of metal. It's used to connect a vessel to the bed of a body of water to prevent the craft from drifting due to wind or current. The writer of the letter of Hebrews, who we do not know their identity, a lot of suggestions have been made, and I'm not going to go there because it's all speculation. But the writer of the Hebrews, who offered this letter to Jews who were following Jesus, the significance of this word anchor was immediate in this ancient world because an anchor was everything to those who were at sea. A solid anchorage meant security, as the firm grip of the anchor's teeth held the ship fast. Well anchored, the winds could blow, the waves could crash, but the ship would not be adrift or headed for the reef or the rocks. The writer of Hebrews reminds us that the Christian possesses the greatest hope in all the world. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Verse 1 of chapter 1 begins a great discourse about the identity of Jesus, which next week, being the first Sunday of Advent, is the perfect time to present that material about the identity of Jesus. See, that hope, friends, we're told, this hope in Christ is the hope that enters into the inner court beyond the veil. In the temple, the most sacred of all places was the Holy of Holies. The veil was what separated it from the rest of the temple. Within the Holy of Holies, there was held to abide the very presence of God. And into that place, only one man could go, the high priest. And he could only go there one day out of the year, the Day of Atonement. And even then, it was understood that he must not linger. For it was a dangerous and a terrible thing to enter into the presence of the living God. This was not entered into lightly or unadvisedly, but in reverent fear before God. And what the writer to the Hebrews is saying here is this: under the old Jewish system, the Old Testament law, no one could enter the presence of God but the high priest, and only one day of the year. But now Jesus has opened the way for every man for every time. The author uses a most illuminating word about Jesus. He says that Jesus entered into the presence of God as our forerunner. Now, the Greek word for forerunner is prodomos, and it has three stages of meaning that are important. The fact that Jesus is a forerunner, he goes before us. He rushes on before us in strength and in power. And it also means that he's a pioneer. He's plowing new ground. He is the one and only who accomplishes once and for all what we could never accomplish for ourselves. But the most encouraging sense of this word is when it means a scout. And that's what forerunner means here. It means a scout who goes ahead to see that it's safe for the troops to follow. And so Jesus went into the presence of God to make it safe for all men, all women, to follow behind. And so the writer to Hebrews says that our hope enters with him, behind him. Jesus secures the way. And so what used to be a dangerous and terrifying thing to go into the inner sanctum, the Holy of Holies, is now open because the veil has been torn, right? When Jesus died, what happened in Jerusalem? The veil was torn. It was ripped in two. A way was made for us. And so our hope goes in with Jesus. And that sacrificial system, the spilling of blood of goats and bulls, comes to its completion. You ever think of what it must have been like for a priest year after year in the Old Testament covenant? The constant flow of blood. Really, it was a gloomy reality. Year after year that the priests in Israel had to offer animal sacrifices, first for their own sins and then the sins of the people. I don't mean that there was not forgiveness. God appointed these sacrifices as relief for the people. They sinned and they needed a substitute to bear their punishment. Really, it was a mercy, it was a grace that God accepted the ministry of sinful priests and substitute animals. But there was a dark side to it. The dark side was simply this: it had to be done over and over and over, year after year. The Bible says in these sacrifices there is a reminder of sin. And that every year. And so, in a sense, there was a cloud that hung over them. Really, kind of a cloud of hopelessness, because the bulls, the blood of bulls and goats, did not conquer. It did not fully satisfy. It was a foreshadowing of what was to come. The people knew that when they laid their hands on the head of a bull to transfer their sins to the animal, it would all have to be done again. No animal could suffice to suffer for human sins. Sinful priests had to sacrifice for their own sins. Mortal priests had to be replaced because they died. Bulls and goats had no moral life and could not bear the guilt of man. And that's why in Hebrews we're told this: it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away our sins. But there's a silver lining around this cloud of priestly insufficiency. And here's the bright spot, friends. If God honored these inadequate things, It must mean that one day he would send a servant who was qualified to complete what these priests could not perform, to put away sin once and for all. And this is Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you when you read your Bible, especially you look in the letter of Hebrews or Paul's letters, oftentimes when Jesus Christ is mentioned, and especially his death, the shedding of his blood, you're going to find phrases like this: once for all. Okay, sin is conquered. It is defeated. There's no longer any need for sacrifice. There's a finality with which the writer speaks and refers to. The sense that the old system, the sacrifice of blood of bulls and goats, is no longer necessary. And this is the gospel. Jesus became the final priest and the final sacrifice. Sinless, he did not offer sacrifices for himself. Immortal, he never has to be replaced. Human, he could bear human sins. He could empathize with us, with our weaknesses, because he too put on flesh. And therefore, he did not offer sacrifices for himself. He offered himself as the final sacrifice. There will never be a need for another. There's one mediator between us and between God, between you and God, between me and God. There's one priest. We need no other. Amen. Now, do you think there's something this week that we could give thanks for? Sometimes I'm absolutely amazed at how much Jesus loves people. We do not deserve this kind of love, Calvary love. In our sins, we deserve judgment. When we look at ourselves, you know, some days, okay, most days, we can be pretty odd. We're all living on the island of misfit toys. And most of us are not even aware that one of our wheels is in the shape of a square. It's true. It's just not the person you're looking at right now, although you're thinking it. Okay, it's you too. We bump into each other, we step on each other's toes, and then what is one to do? We sin. Woulda, shoulda, coulda, and we look at our past. Whoops. We wish we could go back and redraw that picture. But we can't, because it's true. We are all living on the island of misfit toys. But the beauty of the whole scripture in Hebrews is that Jesus takes the miss out of the word misfit. Jesus fits us for family. Jesus fits us perhaps for wealth or health or advancement. Jesus fits us for so many things that we would ordinarily make into an anchor or an idol, but Jesus himself is our anchor, and he makes right what was wrong. And so, friends, the church must always reflect upon two things. Who is Jesus Christ, and what did he come to do for us? These two realities, if we will believe the truth about them, will change our life in a profound and beautiful fashion. The letter to the Hebrews does a splendid job of helping us with these two pivotal questions about Jesus. And so this question remains. I end today where I began. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or remain firm, steadfast, and secure? Well, Priscilla Owens wrote a chorus to the verses that she penned, and this is the chorus. And I hope it's the chorus of your life, the chorus of your heart and your soul. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. That is truth for your life and for my life. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not test anchors which will not hold. Be warned, friends. Anchor in to heaven where Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. And give thanks to Him this week, and teach your loved ones by example and in word the realities of the strong name of Jesus Christ. There is no other portion of Scripture which so beautifully explains the identity and the purpose of Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? And what has He come to do on our behalf? I encourage you to worship with us regularly, to bring others along with you, and to anchor in to the only anchor worth holding on to. Amen.